Yeah.
It is my call at 7:07 on 15th of September 2009.
We have a quorum present at the business meeting of the. Can you hear me now? Can everybody hear me?
No.
No. ¿Por qué no? Juan Carlos, mi permite de proceder. Gracias. It is now 3 minutes after 7 on the 15th of September 2009. I observe I'm Greg Edwards, Vice Chair, acting as Chair, and I observe a quorum of Jack McKay, Phil Lepanto, Dave Wasserman, and myself, 4 of the 6. That means that anyone that can walk out and veto whatever we do tonight. First item on our traditional agenda is that we pass the microphone so that each person has 3 minutes, up to 3 minutes. You don't have to take it all. And we usually start to the most eager, those that are willing to sit up front. So in the first row,
definitely make sure it's turned on.
Hello, I'm Tim Vafides. I actually work for the mayor, outreach and service specialist.
Are you Jack?
Nice to meet you, Jack. I'm here on behalf of the mayor for his eyes and his ears. I just started in this ward about a week and a half ago, so I'm still relatively new. I'm still getting used to the process, and it's basically a learning experience for me just to listen. And if I can be of any help, you know, please feel free to come and talk to me, and you know, we'll see what we can do.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You pass it down because we try to do it on a row basis. The gentleman up here, do you wish to speak?
Introduce yourself.
Kevin York, and wanted to tonight discuss a proposed project for 3430.
Can you speak up a little bit so the translation comes?
Sure. Name's Kevin York, and I'm the owner of property 3430, 3432 Brown Street. Just want to discuss on a proposed project that we want to participate in. Thank you.
I'm the contractor, and Paul Wilson here is the architect. I'll introduce him. And we're all together on the same project. And we wanted to bounce a few ideas off the ANC and see what the feedback is going to be.
My name is Juan Carlos Ruiz, and I'm with the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant. I'm resident of Mount Pleasant.
Good evening. I'm Evelyn Brewster, and I'm with the 3150 16th Street Residents Association.
You can make a statement if you wish. Okay.
Jack? Hello. My name is Norman Ingram. I'm a resident at 3435 Brown Street, and I wanted to hear about the development that's going to happen across the street from us. So.
Buenas noches, mi nombre es Rosa Rivas, soy residente de acá Mount Pleasant y soy miembro de la Asociación Latina de Mount Pleasant.
Good evening, my name is Rosa Rivas and I'm president of Mount Pleasant.
Can you use a microphone, please, so we get it on the record? We're required by law to maintain a recording.
Good evening, my name is Rosa Rivas, I'm a resident of Mount Pleasant and also a member of the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant.
Gracias.
Otto Paz, Asociación Latina de Mount Pleasant.
Otto Paz, from the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant.
Y Álvarez, soy de la Asociación Latina de Mount Pleasant.
Mi nombre es Martín Iraeta, soy de la Asociación de la Latino Mount Pleasant.
Would you,
David Álvarez from the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant and Martín Iraeta from the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant.
Thank you.
I'm Lorena, and I'm part of the Latino Association. I'm also trying to translate to them right here.
Would you give your last name, please?
Mejia.
Mejia. Muchas gracias.
I'm Jan Stahar Barnes, 3150 17th Street. I'm just here to observe.
Well, good. Lots of observers. Now we should proceed directly. Apparently the public discussion area went quickly.
I do have a comment.
Okay, you haven't used up your 3 minutes, so.
Yeah, thanks.
Wait.
The only comment is I want to put in the record that we, the Latino Association, are respectfully requesting for this ANC to have an agenda sent out to the community a week ahead of the time. We understand that this last-minute agenda items that can come, but it's also an understanding that we need to come prepared to connect with what the vision of this ANC is. And the sense and the feeling that not only the Latino Association, but in my conversation with representatives of two other associations that work in Mount Pleasant, there is a deep frustration about knowing ahead of time what is the agenda that is going to be, or at least the agenda items that are critical, they are going to be discussed in these meetings.
We have Pupusuria San Miguel.
Neftalí. Mi nombre es Neftalí Melgar Vázquez, el dueño de Pupusuria San Miguel Restaurant.
My name is Neftalí Melgar Vázquez, and I'm the owner of Pupusuria San Miguel Restaurant.
Gracias. So we move immediately into the secretary's report.
Secretary's report. Just a matter of the minutes for the August 18th and September 1 meetings. Are there any corrections offered to either?
Seeing none, they're declared accepted.
Okay. Then I'll proceed to the Treasurer's report, may I?
Sure.
We have finally received our audit. The volume seems a little high here. Bill? The volume seems awfully high. Okay. The audit covering the years from October 2005 through 2009 of this ANC has been received and is really quite favorable. If I can just go through the high points here, because this is fairly important. We have a generally favorable response. We substantially complied with the legal requirements. A problem noted was late quarterly reports. And looking at the table of the late reports, you can see that those all occurred in the 2006-2007 period, basically when Joe Esparza was our treasurer, and he seemed to be completely incapable of getting a report in on time. After he left, Jane Zara became treasurer. And since that time, other than the one report which he had left behind, which is already late, all of our reports have been on time. So we have taken care of that particular problem. We held the required number of meetings. We established our budgets. We participated in the security fund. There was a problem, as you know, with our petty cash. Basically, when Wayne Kahn was in charge of our petty cash, the records were not complete, so they found about $56 of petty cash expenditures that had no documentation. And that's since he has been replaced with Well, since his Wing Khan went away, since he did not run for re-election, since then others have been in charge of petty cash, and since then there have been no more problems with the documentation of petty cash expenditures. Internal controls were adequate. Basically, other than those two exceptions, late quarterly reports and the petty cash discrepancy, we have really a very nice quarterly report, or auditor report. I do have to respond to those deficiencies, which I have drafted, simply noting in a letter that we have cured the late quarterly report problem through changes in treasurer, and we have cured the petty cash procedures problem through a change in the custodian of the petty cash. If this is acceptable, I will be sending this response in to the auditor.
Is there any objection to this? If not, I would observe that the passing of the authorization of this letter is approved by affirmation. Okay.
No objection. Thank you.
Can you repeat that for the translation?
Yeah.
Seeing no objection to the idea of sending the letter, this particular letter to the auditor, I observe that this that the implicit motion is passed by affirmation.
Greg, you really have to point the microphone at your mouth.
All right.
This way. These are designed to minimize side noise.
So it's like this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Rock star.
There you go. Rock star. Okay.
Excuse me. Yes. Would you brook an interruption from Commissioner Phil Lepanto?
From Commissioner Phil?
Sure. Sorry about these levels. Just wanted to ask, now that this audit report has been done, is this closed now? The auditor will no longer be looking at the books for this period?
The auditor has no regular schedule for this. It is fairly, about once every 3 years, he comes around to every ANC, depending really on, I think, his perception of how many problems an ANC might have. I don't expect to hear from the auditor again concerning this kind of audit for another 3 or 4 years.
May I also answer? I asked Gottlieb Simon about what is the policy of the auditor on lots of things. He says that he told me that the auditor is authorized to make policy, but has chosen not to do so. So there is no written policy for the DC auditor. So there's no predicting what they're going to do.
Yes, we do, of course, have audits of our quarterly reports. Not as in as much detail, but they certainly do review our quarterly reports. And this is, of course, the last month of the fiscal quarter. Indeed, it's the last month of the fiscal year. So next month I will have a quarterly report to be reviewed by the commission. As for the fiscal year, did a sum of everything that we have spent during this fiscal year, and it turns out to be just about 95% of our annual allotment, which is a remarkable coincidence. And that sounds good, but of course, this doesn't include the $5,000 which has been promised in grants. So in fact, we're running a significant deficit. It just doesn't show up with cash accounting. Okay, then finally, I have a couple of checks. One to Tony Grillo, $400 for putting up the posters for this meeting and the preceding meeting. And this one to Juan Carlos, reimbursement for the Portageons. And I made it out, as Dave requested, to Juan Carlos, because the invoice is made up to Juan Carlos. But of course, you paid for that on your credit card. So you, Mr. Ruiz, have to work this out.
Seeing no, but, is there any objection to writing these checks? Seeing none, they are. It appears we have a unanimous approval.
And the final expense is not shown here, but I've got. I'll cover your expenditure for these refreshments out of petty cash. I have the paperwork for that.
Thank you.
And I believe that completes. I'm sorry. Okay. I believe that completes the...
You'll have to speak into the microphone, Jack.
Yes. Thank you, Greg. that completes the treasurer's report.
I don't know if I observed this before, but I found a piece of paper with Joe Esparza's phone number on it. As a chance, I called it, and it was his cell phone, and he has kept it over the years. And he said, wow, he had just found all of our financial materials. And so I offered to pay for dinner at Heidi's restaurant if he would come up and deliver them. And we made an arrangement, and I was at the restaurant for about an hour, and he never showed. I don't think I'm going to flog that horse again. Commercial quarter. On that, I think I've got some significant news that just came in an hour ago. Or less, from a call from at 6:30 by Blake Biles, an attorney for Arnold and Porter, who is representing the residents of the former Deauville, and it is and plus four other buildings. May I add, primarily with Latino residents, and. Here's what he reports. Number one, they are very close to a deal to purchase the Deauville at a fair price. Say again? Please use the...
I'm sorry, who is very close to purchasing the Deauville?
There is a group, but I think it is primarily, it is a combination of people that he did not list. It appears that the primary contributors to this is the District of Columbia Housing Department, and there is a nonprofit affordable housing provider. A trust that is located in D.C. that is involved.
Greg,
yes.
Sorry, the translation is very difficult. You
can't
speak up closer to the
mic. All right. Is this better?
Thank you.
All right.
The last piece we didn't get.
Okay. There are two groups that that may be able with, and this is not promised, but it appears to be nearing possibility that. The District of Columbia Housing Department and a nonprofit national trust for low-cost housing is involved. The next news is that there is that this is not certain because all the various programs that they have to stitch together, and it's not just one program. Given they've got to pick up dibs and drabs all over the place. And all of these programs have very different requirements. So it is a massive bureaucratic headache. Next, it appears he accepted and more or less corroborated my hand count of about 305 people that had shown up to the Saturday afterwards as residents of that building. Of those, less than a third of between 30 and 35 households are interested in reoccupying the building when, in about 2.5 years, it is ready, assuming everything goes through as scheduled. The hope for closing date is in March. So there's a lot of time. There's 6 months, and he said that will be a very difficult target. But he believes that if we don't do that now, then it will not happen for a long time.
Next, since he and I have been in discussion with a number of others about ways to increase greatly the number of legal living units that can house the people in Mount Pleasant that need low-cost housing, because we've known for some time, for really almost 15 years, that the economic and ethnic diversity of Mount Pleasant depends upon the creation of new units, because much of our population is not housed legally. He says that he has felt that it was ethically required for him to first precise and to get this unit, the Deauville, on track. But starting tomorrow, having just finished a few hours ago an important piece, we can turn our attention to looking at the possibility of including not only the other four buildings, but perhaps several other sites, like the Meridian Hill Baptist Church and others that many people have thought should be part of this plan. And we will start that discussion tomorrow. And he recognizes that, he says that philosophically he's inclined, because he recognizes that without this further work, then Mount Pleasant will be fundamentally changed for another half century. And so this is something that we need to pay quite a bit of attention to. This is really all I know, but there may be questions from the commission, first from the commissioners, and if the commissioners are willing, perhaps we can have a brief discussion and answer with the with our neighbors. Jack, any comments? Phil?
I think it's great news to hear that the Deauville, there's something's actually happening with the Deauville. March is certainly a long way away, but it's closer than some unknown date, which I think we had all been sort of complaining about. I think this commission needs to make sure that we focus on getting the Deauville restored as our first priority, and focusing on other sites as they come. I'm not familiar with the other four buildings that you're speaking about. I do know the Meridian Hill Baptist Church, but I don't know what other buildings you're mentioning.
Dave.
Yes, as the other commissioners know, Jim Graham wants to have a joint ANC Jim Graham type meeting, and asked me to inquire of the other commissioners what they thought about it in the very near future, to talk about the Deauville with the community.
Dave, I've offered a resolution supporting that. Perhaps you saw it. Okay. I suppose I left out one piece of news, and that is that they feel forced by their economic model to keep the facades of the Deauville in order to not have sprung on them the requirement that they dig an expensive underground garage. So that is an area where we could perhaps go to the Zoning Commission. I know the Office of Planning has been considering changes to the zoning to allow that to happen. So I think the mayor's team would be probably quite supportive of that, because it's already on track. He also recognizes that something that Tariq Bolton told me, and that is one of the reasons why it is difficult to get developer investment, is that it turns out the maintenance of these historic facades is extremely expensive and never-ending and increasing in price. So there are still some things that we should be able to work out. That may be coming along. Will the commission permit this for us to have a discussion with the audience, and in case there are questions? Jack?
It's fine with me. I want to know if we could real quickly pass this authorization for $50 to pay for the interpreting services this evening.
Fine.
I have rephrased it. You said allocates. I want to change that to authorizes. And I want to specify, I guess that's fine. Basically, this authorizes $50 expenditure for this evening.
May I then assume that I've made the motion, you have seconded it, and I accept the friendly amendment. So we're ready. Is there any discussion? Then we're ready to vote. All in favor? 4-0, unanimous. Okay. Now, are there any questions or comments from the audience about, specifically about this, about the Doe bill? Our policy is that you identify yours. First of all, we are required by law to record it. And secondly, we ask that people give their two names.
Janet Sahar Barnes at 3150 17th Street. A couple of questions. Would this be condos? Would this be rentals? Would this be condominiums? What's on the agenda there? Anything?
He did not say. So, and while I could guess, I don't. I think I should not.
How many units would it approximately be?
70.
70 units?
Yes.
Okay. And I assume from your comment.
Excuse me. I have other information now that I'm remembering. It was all efficiencies, and it would now become a mixture of efficiencies, one and two bedrooms.
I assume from your comment that you all don't want an underground parking situation there, and if that's the case, I really don't know, but if that's the case, what about the parking?
I don't believe the commission has made has discussed this. I will say that there is a coalition of activists across Mount Pleasant that are looking for an underground parking garage to get the parking off the street so that we can widen the sidewalks and improve the atmosphere on Mount Pleasant Street. And I believe they're in contact with Jim Graham to see if... So that is a separate process, but it has not yet come to the commission. Jack.
I would like to take the opportunity to speak to that. There has been pressure for reducing the parking requirements for buildings such as this, partly to try to discourage the automobile-centered culture of the center city, and partly also to reduce the cost of units. You can make units more affordable if you don't have dedicated parking space for them. And since this is located a short distance from the Columbia Heights Metro, I think there are very good reasons for minimizing the parking requirements.
I have one datum from my consultations with people in the business at the Urban Land Institute meetings. And they said 2 years ago, this is when I actually did a survey of them, that the marginal cost for extra units that could be low cost is $100 a foot without a parking garage, and $150 if there is. So it's 50% higher if you add parking. Any other comments or questions? Juan Carlos Ruiz.
First of all, thank you for giving the information. So that information, there's a difference between information, rumors, and reality, all right? How can we tackle down the fact that what you say, I'm not questioning what you say, and it's true. I just want to make sure that we can deal with facts about what the situation is, what is in negotiation right now. And perhaps we can have a stronger input before the negotiations are done.
So I'm trying to figure out what will be the process that is recommended by the ANC to ensure that there's more, it's more like a paper, it's more solid, the negotiations that might be happening right now. That's on one side.
Let me answer that directly, because first of all, this is a report from the lead negotiator on behalf of the residents. And he specified that all of this is in flux and could disappear like summer dew tomorrow. So he gave me some more information about some of the about who's doing what and so on, in order for us to think more about what could be done, both with the ANC help to nail this down and to extend this so that we can get sufficient units so that the local Latino population can stay. But he cautioned me that at this point, any substantial interference could destroy what has been accomplished.
So. And thank you. The concern that we are having is while we want the building, all right, and the development, how we can have input so we can strengthen the pieces that we agree in the negotiations, and we can minimize the things that we disagree with in the negotiations.
I think that will have to come out in the future. He explained that he has not been returning my calls for a week or so, actually, because he did not want to say anything until the piece that would help put a lot of this together was in place, which only occurred at close of business today.
And the last piece is, does the ANC has, I don't know, a skeleton, what they want to see in that building? Has the community come out with something that would say we want to have the building and this is the elements, the guidelines that we can recommend so we can move forward with the recommendations or with the agreements that they might be happening? That's what we expect from I don't know, at least that's what we will expect. You guys have some parameters, but we are not reacting.
I would like the other commissioners to weigh in.
This ANC doesn't have a plan worked out. We just want to make sure that there is as much affordable, accessible housing as possible in that building and the others along that strip. We didn't create a specification from the ANC.
Jack.
I think we have a lot of confidence in Councilmember Graham that he's going to do his best to preserve affordable housing at the Deauville. And certainly the neighborhood wants to see the Deauville come back, something come back in that place. I really think that the council member will do his best to make sure that what does come back includes affordable housing.
Phil.
Okay. I mean, Juan Carlos, I think it's, you got to understand our position. I mean, we're the lowest on the totem pole here. The residents are in pole position. They have the lead negotiator who's sitting down at the table. He's going to court. We're getting our information from him. I appreciate you wanting to hold this community's feet to the fire on the Deauville. I think everybody wants to see that building rebuilt, but pushing us to take a position now, I think, is putting us in a bad light, because there's nothing that we can do. The building hasn't even been purchased from the guy that still owns it, and you know, if I think it's great news that the city is part of the plan. I think it's great news that the tenants are part of the plan. I think it's great news that there's a nonprofit housing corporation that's part of the plan. But, you know, we don't have the budget to be part of the plan. We don't have the legal standing to be part of the plan. There will be a point where we do play a role, but it's after March, certainly. Now, we, as you have noticed, are participating in a number of parallel processes around the neighborhood. And I think we've all stood up several times and talked about affordable housing, bringing the neighbors back. I know I was part of here Mount Pleasant that spent an awful lot of time right after the fire trying to help everybody get situated and get on their feet, and we're trying very hard to lobby as much as we can to stay on top of this. So I think we all need to realize that things are very delicate right now, that we're all working towards the same thing. I can honestly speak, talking to all of my constituents, I don't know of anybody who wants to see the Deauville changed in terms of who it was serving or how it was constructed or anything like that. I think there is some interest in maybe some ground floor retail as opposed to what was there exactly before. But I think that that's very doable in maintaining the character of the building over the long term.
Thank you.
If I may, there's another piece that I think I can divulge, and that is that if 35 households rather than 30 come back out of the 70 units, this is a bitter edge of affordability, because they must have a lot of very high rental units in order to pull off a very expensive purchase and renovation. So this whole thing is on a knife edge.
We have a meeting yesterday in the association. This building has come out as a problem that needs to be fixed, all right? And the concerns that we have is as follows, and Phil, well, I thank you for your comments. The intention is not to hold you hostage when I ask, do you have a plan? I think the intention is, if you have a plan, you don't. What we can do to help that happen is our intention to add to the effort that you're doing here. And that's our intention. So what the fears that came out in the yesterday meetings are as follows. Number one, affordable housing could mean that there's people making over $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year. All right? That does not represent the folks that were living in those apartment buildings. Now, when we're talking about folks that are willing to come back after 2 years, there's a huge number of the creation, the number have been reduced. As the time moves forward, people are going to be leaving the area, because if we don't stop what is happening in the neighborhood right now. So for us, it gives the concept of the building and bringing it back, it's not just bringing it back, all right? It's the holistic approach to the community. And we try to figure it out how we fit them here and how we can strengthen the work that you guys are doing and how we can support that, all right? So our fears are, we want to make sure that the houses that are being built there are accessible to all, but also is accessible to Latino families. Especially the Latino family that were part of building or maintaining Mount Pleasant Street in the last 3 years. The Mount Pleasant corridor. So that is critical for us. And I don't, for example, something that can be done by the commission is that it might not mean too much for you, but it means a lot for us in the fight that we are engaging ourselves, that we're going to argue to see how we can make the building more accessible. The families that are coming back here are Latino families. Our fight is going to be to bring Latino families. So how can we, what language can we use to do that? Is there a common agreement? And perhaps it's not. And it's okay that it's not, but at least we know what are we looking for. So that is one of the pieces that we are considering. And some part you say, well, we perhaps can bring some businesses. All right, and we are thinking perhaps there can be a community center for Latinos families in there. So there is some sense that we can, that we are encouraging us ourselves, including us, as to while we leave the responsibilities to the consumer, we also have a responsibility to ourselves to lead by thinking ahead about what we want.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion? Otherwise, we will return to the regularly scheduled program. The next item is next meetings, and I wonder if we could consider a resolution that I have proposed to on that. It's under five resolutions on page two. It's number five.
May I read it for you?
Please.
Wendy will meet on October 6, 2009, the first Tuesday of October, at La Casa, with a focus on possibilities for the commercial corridor and for supporting the continued vitality of Mount Pleasant's diverse populations and shops, notably Latinos. You may take my reading as a second.
Thank you. Do we need discussion? Yes.
I'm just wondering, this is our regularly scheduled meeting.
Yes, it is. Okay. Dave.
What would the venue and time be for the Jim Graham meeting?
Hopefully we'll find some other time very soon now. But I think we need this meeting to deal with the pressing issues here.
Well, I think we should set a time, and I got Tony Loza looking into using the Bell School Auditorium.
Fine. May I ask that we defer that to another resolution, item four, and take that up at that point. Phil?
Well, why couldn't we combine this meeting with the Jim Graham meeting?
Because we have a lot of separate issues that are going to be coming up, I think, at that time. So that they're really separate issues. Jack?
Yeah, I think because the council member wants to have a larger meeting than we can handle, and I think having it at the Bell Auditorium is a fine idea. That pretty much takes it out of our hands, which is fine. I'm perfectly willing to let the council member do it, and we will be supportive, but it is no longer an ANC meeting.
Okay, are we ready to vote? Yeah, Dave.
I just wanted to mention to Jack that what Graham really wanted was a joint ANC Jim Graham meeting.
When we get to that, I would be pleased to support you in making that change. Phil.
Well, what issues? I mean, you say we're going to have other issues, but can you enumerate what those are?
There are a number of issues that that Juan Carlos Ruiz has raised, that there's some about the cultural issues and scheduling festivals and other things, that policing issues that have been bubbling up, because there are reports that the police are now harassing Latinos in the neighborhood. There are a variety of other very serious issues, I think, that we need to address, and that simply we're not ready with documentation and evidence, since our resolutions require evidence-based arguments, and we need to put those together, and they were not going to be ready tonight.
Can we take a vote on having our informal meeting be a commercial corridor meeting?
Seeing no other call for discussion, we move to a vote. All in favor? 4-0. It seems like we now want to take up item number four on this list.
Greg, for the purpose of the translation, can you repeat what you have just approved?
Yes. Would Jack, you're our official reader. Item 5.
I'm sorry. Item 5, yes. No, item 5 we just done. Now we're moving on to item 4. Which one do you want me to read?
5.
The one we just passed?
Yes.
1D will meet on October 6, 2009, the first Tuesday of October, at La Casa, with a focus on possibilities for the commercial corridor and for supporting the continued vitality of Mount Pleasant's diverse populations and shops, notably Latinos. Can we hear from Dave Baca?
Yes, Dave.
It, but just in case and just for clarity's sake, I don't believe the resolution was seconded.
It was.
It wasn't.
He stipulated that it was with his reading.
Okay.
He said, would I accept his reading as an implicit second? And I took that, the word second, to be sufficient.
I apologize.
Speak up, David.
We need people to keep us punctilious and on our toes. All right. So item 4.
Again, I will read it. 1D supports and commends neighbors to participate in Councilmember Jim Graham's meeting to discuss current status of the problems left by the Deauville fire and on future possibilities for improvements.
I second it, and in keeping with my promise to Brother Dave, perhaps we should introduce before, or right after supports, comma, and co-sponsors. Is that in keeping with what you wanted? Okay. Is there any objection to that change? Okay, so we don't need a formal amendment process.
But you're mucking up the grammar.
What?
You're messing up the grammar, something terrible.
What would you suggest as a friendly amendment?
Let me change this to read A and C 1D, comma, we'll co-sponsor and support.
I think we can remove
participation in okay. Councilmember Jim Graham's meeting, etc.
Okay. I accept that as a friendly amendment. Dave.
Rather than choosing an arbitrary date, perhaps we could get David Vaca to work with Jim Graham on seeing when he could have the meeting.
Good. That's the reason that I left it uncertain. So are we ready to vote? Well, seeing no objection, we move to a vote. All in favor, raise your hand and say aye. 4-0. It's moving right along. While we're at it, another short one. Number 1, I think, is uncontroversial. Jack, would you do the honors?
ANC Wendy advises the mayor and Councilmember Graham to meet with Mount Pleasant Latino Association in the next few weeks to discuss their issues.
Any second? Dave, would you second that? No. Okay. I see no second. Therefore, the motion fails.
Can I give an explanation before the failure of the motion?
Will the commission permit? I see nods. Any objection?
Thank you. So, may I need a minute? I tried to print. Can you hear me? I tried to print this, but my printer didn't work. So I'm going to read it. I apologize for that. At the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant, the Mayor Frank T. and the Councilmember Jim Graham, we the undersigned are respectfully requesting your honorable presence in our community for a community meeting that will address issues that are facing our daily lives in our Mount Pleasant neighborhood. The issues that will be discussed are as follows.
the constant police abuse and harassment within the Latino community, the constant harassment for parking checkers to Latino community members, the car running over the speed limit in Mount Pleasant Street, there's a lot of cars running over the speed limit, the need for a community center for the Latino community, and the opportunity for a world market on 16th Street or in Mount Pleasant neighborhood, and the need to save Neighbors Consejo, an organization that provides services for people that are sick with alcoholism. So those are the issues that we are asking the mayor and Councilor Graham to come and meet with us. The intention would be to invite the whole community, but those are the issues that have been presented by the community, by the community members.
Dave.
Yes. The reason that I didn't second is because of the timing. We have one meeting with the ANC on those subjects, I guess, and then we have a meeting at an unknown time, but in the next few weeks, with Councilmember Graham and the ANC. And then this would be a follow-up meeting with Graham and the mayor, so it would be proceeding ANC, Graham, ANC, Graham Mayor, and it couldn't be in the next few weeks. We'd have to look at Graham's schedule, we'd have to look at the mayor's schedule, etc. But I think it's a good idea if we have a series of these meetings that ramp it up.
Well, the way we're thinking on this, and I appreciate that, David, thank you, but the way we are thinking here is there is a strong need for a strong push to the mayor administration, which are the main entities that provide, that can regulate some of the issues that we have addressed. And it's our intention to make that pressure heavily done by bringing up borders and requesting the mayor a public commitment to our efforts. And that is precisely what we were asking previously. And the mission and the vision of this ANC, right? I appreciate that we need to be conscious about how the meetings are going to be scheduled. So, but I also know that if we don't move fast with this, we're going to get into the Christmas season, and it's going to be very difficult for us.
Juan Carlos, if you would permit me, let me see if this would be something that would attract a second, perhaps even a vote from Dave, and that is that we amend this to say that you and I would work with others to find an acceptable date as within... Yes, within some reasonable pacing, to accomplish this. Would that attract your second and maybe your vote?
Sure.
Okay, can we get the language changed?
Can you do that, Jack? No.
Would you help him, huh? Let me look at the comments from Bill. I see your microphone is ready.
Sorry, one more issue that's missing, I apologize, it just almost killed me here. And that's the expansion of the library, and our request for the expansion of the library to be, sorry, thank you. And one issue that I didn't put it in there, thank you, is that the expansion of the library, and the expansion of the library being done in a way that is safe for the other buildings, they are adhering to the library.
Juan Carlos, while he is lighting up the other, let me say that I would love it. I mean, the EC has already passed resolutions, and I can take those down, but it would be very good on Thursday afternoon, I suppose, for us to go down substantial numbers to commissioner bylaws and to say that this is an asymmetric, ugly building and a large ramp and presents a lot of problems. And I think if we showed up with substantial numbers and we're very polite, this is a very refined group, they'd be listening to us.
Okay.
That's for this Thursday, right?
Thursday.
That's pretty good.
And the blindness is on me because last time they tried to shut me up and I protested and got an apology, so they will remember me.
Right now, it's
okay. Well, is the because supposedly we have a second before we discuss that. So. Are we ready?
Then.
Yeah, I'm just puzzled for why we're doing this, because we've got the representative of Councilmember Graham here. We've got the representative of the Latino Association here. They can talk to each other what they need us for.
And the mayor. We have
Everybody's here. So, I mean, we are unnecessary at this time. We do not have any real influence in this process.
You're just asking for support.
Yeah.
And respect. And it's not respect to you. We respect the work that we're building here.
Then let me revise this to read that ANC endorses a meeting as follows, rather than our appearing to tell the council member, the mayor, what to
do. That's okay with me. Okay with you? Keep your second?
Yes.
We're getting very polite here. That's okay.
While he's doing that, yes.
I respect the Latino Association of Mount Pleasant. I think I've tried to communicate that to you, to communicate that to members of your organization. But I agree with Jack, at least in questioning why you would come to the ANC to get us to say that we think it's a good idea that you all ought to meet. I think it actually isn't. I mean, the mayor's office can interpret this in his own way. Councilmember Graham can interpret it in his own way. But I honestly think that they would respect you more if you went in there without us. For that reason, because I respect you so much, I'm not going to vote for this.
It's okay, man. I appreciate
it. Are we ready, Jeff? You have language. Not that you necessarily support it.
I have much the same feeling that the expression that comes to mind is we are a very small flea on a very large dog. So why are we telling that big dog what to do?
Because we're right.
I mean, we are all in favor, Juan Carlos, of this coming to pass, but we do not have anything like the influence you think we have. We have no budget. We have no authority. Nobody does what we want them to do. Yes.
May I ask that we have discussion of it after we have
You want me to get off my soapbox?
I want you to defer your stay on your soapbox.
I'll just complete
the statement, and then let's have a discussion.
Yeah, I mean, we're spending a lot of time on this, and with Phil, I agree that this isn't particularly useful because we really have no influence in this matter.
Okay, fine. Let's follow the rules. And do you have something read that you can read?
ANC 1D endorses a meeting of the mayor and Councilmember Graham with the Mount Pleasant Latino Association in the next few weeks to discuss their issues.
That's not as amended. Dave and I asked that with Dave Wasserman and Greg Edwards working with the community to find a mutually agreeable time.
A problem here, Greg, is that I can't hear you.
I think you said at a mutually agreeable time.
So we don't need to be involved. Okay, that's fine with that.
Are you deleting in the next few weeks? Then, rephrase, ANC Wendy endorses a meeting of the mayor and Councilmember Graham with the Mount Pleasant Latino Association at a mutually agreeable time to discuss their issues.
Do we have a second?
No second.
Okay. Is there further discussion?
Yes, I'd like to say something. insofar as the ANC-1D is a small, powerless neighborhood unit that only advises the government in any case, I think the argument that we are powerless does not dissuade us from encouraging things to happen in our community that we think would happen, and as a symbolic token of good faith.
Agreed. Any further discussion? Are we ready to move to a vote? I would, since there's evidence of some division here, I would ask the secretary to call the roll. I ask the secretary to call the roll so we have an individual count.
Phil. I vote no. Dave.
Yes.
Greg.
Yes.
And Jack votes yes.
It passes 3-1.
Thank you.
As another item that I hope we can do very quickly, and I was sorry about the last one, is to reaffirm the, and reps make small changes in the computer resolution that we had already approved. The situation, let me just give a small background. Bill Butler's computer no longer works. He's borrowing one. It's messed up. It has put a serious delay in the staff work. And since we had already passed this, it seemed reasonable for us to move on it. Jack had some ideas, so let me introduce this and then seek a second. And we'll do amendments. Jack, will you...
ANC-1D authorizes up to $1,000 for the purchase of a laptop computer with office software, a flatbed scanner to be used for 1D work and serve as a backup, and a one-time web access fee of not to exceed $200 for web and email access for 1D's administrator. Let's change that. A committee of Jack McKay and Greg Edwards is authorized to make the purchase. That is the resolution as passed.
Yes. Now, if we're going to do a reaffirmation of this, you suggested we may want to make some changes. Would you, I think if you have a second to this? So,
okay. Let's take it as moved and seconded, but now we'll do some editing. Is that acceptable? This is a fairly rough parliamentary procedure.
Okay.
Because we have to remove administrator, the reference to the administrator.
First, we can remove that with staff. The word administrator can be changed to staff. Can anyone read this on the screen? Some people can.
Also, is the flatbed scanner necessary for Bill Butler?
Yes, because if he's going to, he's going to get a lot of material in on, let's say, the revised grant reports.
Enough. I understand. And web access?
No. I'd like to take that $200, put over, add it to the $1,000, and add a printer. Because from time to time, he will need to print things out for us. Okay. From time to time, our staff will need to print things out for us. Or, of course, this belongs to the commission and not to the staff. So we can use it as a backup. Jack also suggested adding with open source Office Suite.
Okay, let me read it as revised. ANC Wendy authorizes up to $1,000
for the part. $100?
I'm sorry?
We moved the $200 from the web access over to the.
It's gone.
But it still says $1,000 rather than $1,200.
Oh, you want to make it $800? Okay.
No.
I mean, we've got it. Oh, you want to make it $1,200?
Yes. So the total of this amount was before $1,200, and it would remain $1,200. Because to buy a good scanner is over. Is $200, the printer is $200.
I'm sorry, I thought that this resolution had already been passed as it was read previously. Yes, but that isn't really applicable at this time, so we are passing a new authorization.
the old one is gone. We no longer have an administrator, so the old resolution is useless.
Well, he's working on that. Dave?
Yeah, I just wondered whether the specifying open source software is going to delay or put a hitch into this, because I know you can get cheap computers loaded with Microsoft Windows, but I don't never heard of one loaded with open source software.
Jack?
I'm using OpenOffice.org. Works wonderful. And I will set this up with OpenOffice.org.
Jack promises to set this up.
And it doesn't send any money to Microsoft.
Good.
It actually allows us a better...
Can we take a vote on this?
Okay. Any further discussion? Good. All in favor? Three. Is there an abstention? No. Okay. So it's 3-1. Now, the next item, may I ask the unanimous consent to move to Pupusería San Miguel?
Yes, that would be the appropriate one, yes.
Jack, would you be our illiterate one? I think Neftali isn't going to be interested in this.
Concerning the Pupusería San Miguel. Senor Vasquez is aquí. Resolve that ANC-1D advises the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board to grant the application by Pupusería San Miguel for an expansion of its retail Class D restaurant. Further resolve that ANC-1D supports stipulated approval of the expansion in premises.
I think we can skip the Y.
Skip the Y. Thank you.
Is there any discussion of this? Phil?
Just have a quick question. I know that there was a show cause hearing. Is that not incorrect? Or is that incorrect? On
Jack?
Oh, that's correct. And that's because Senor Vasquez very ambitiously did the expansion without first getting permission. This is going back and saying, okay, we will authorize the expansion.
And these 55 seats are what Senor Vasquez expanded to?
Yes.
Yes, his initial was only 12. Same.
Okay. And the other than ABRA, have other district agencies weighed in on this expansion?
Well, I can report from conversation with Andrew Klein this afternoon that the MBNA has offered its endorsement of this change.
Well, I guess the question in my mind is, do we need to work with other district agencies to make sure that this expansion does not meet further headwinds in terms of permitting and whatnot?
May I interpret it as saying that it's a constructive suggestion that we might add just to cover ourselves and other applicable agencies to the resolution?
Yes, I'm trying to make sure that...
Sorry, I lost the translation. Can you repeat the question?
Okay. May I interpret your comment as proposing a friendly amendment to insert after the Alcohol Beverage Control Board and other applicable agencies, so that as they occur, we will not have to pass another resolution? Or if they occur.
That would certainly be one interpretation. I was trying through the discussion period to ascertain whether we even needed to do that, if we've already passed all the regulatory hurdles, then we would not have to do that and we could merely proceed. However, if there is an open question as to whether there are other agencies that might have review of this issue, that we would need to communicate our support for the expansion as is, then yes, I think that would be very
DCRA
appropriate.
DCRA undoubtedly is going to come in and make free inspections. Jack?
Yeah, I would prefer...
Are you next?
I was just wondering about the fire marshal.
At this point, this is strictly between Abra and the Pupa City. It's simply a matter of his liquor license. So I would like to keep it simple at this time. If we have to come back and revisit it because there's a problem with the DCRA, I'm sure we can do that at that time if necessary.
Any other discussion? We're ready to move to a vote. Excuse me. The commission authorize Janet to speak. Okay.
Janet Sahar Barnes. I'm just rather curious. Is this indoor expansion or is this outdoor?
It's indoor.
Okay.
Calling for a vote now. All in favor, raise your hand and say aye. It is 4-0, unanimously passed. No, we have Brown Street, and then there's a minor other thing. There's also another one that could get into a long discussion, voluntary agreements. Jack, you're the initiator of this. There are two resolutions that have been submitted for this.
Yeah, let's start with mine, please, and you can offer yours as an end if you wish.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you also type mine in, too? I sent it earlier. But anyway.
Resolve that ANC Wendy request the Historic Preservation Review Board to postpone the hearing of 3430-3432 Brown Street Northwest, HPA number 09385, for 1 month to allow the Commission time to study the HPO report, hear from Historic Mount Pleasant, and determine neighborhood opinions.
Is there a second?
Second.
David seconds. Now, one way of handling where we have two different resolutions is that I would like to read as an amendment mine. It alters his in one significant way. Resolved, ANC 1D advises the HPRB, that's the Historic Preservation Review Board, to postpone the hearing of 3432 Brown Street Northwest, HPA number 9-385, for 1 month. And here's where the amendment comes in. And if there is no other 1D resolution to deny the application, and the rest of it ought to be struck. And mine continues as why, which gives a justification for it. The proposer arranged for materials to be sent to the full commission only a few hours before the monthly business meeting. These materials are sketchy and incomplete, so at least a delay is needed for the proposer to catch up. With limited information and no rationale available to 1D, it appears that the design adds the burdens of density to the neighborhood without compensating benefits, say, of design excellence. Is there a second?
Let me respond to that. Okay. Or is there a second for the
point of order? My understanding is that there is a motion on the floor, there has been a second, then there is discussion.
No, there's an amendment. An amendment always takes precedence.
So you have moved to make an amendment.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is there a second to the motion to amend?
That's the next. There may not be a second. It appears there's no second, so the amendment fails.
Yeah, let me point out that the postponement is automatic. If the ANC requests a one-month postponement, it gets a one-month postponement. So all these issues that Greg alluded to can be dealt with next month.
Now we start we've already started the discussion. Jack was first. Moving around the table, Phil.
As powerless as the ANC is, this is one where we actually need to do our jobs. And I know that there are representatives here from this project. I hope the commission will give them an opportunity to address us with regard to this. And in general, I do support where we're going with this resolution in that we do need time to study these materials. We do need time to consult with neighbors. As I mentioned to you gentlemen earlier in this meeting, I had not heard about this project. We certainly have a track record this year of needing to do a lot of due diligence on these type of issues. So I'm generally in agreement with this resolution, but I do like to want to hear from the gentlemen that are here to represent the project.
Fine. Let me move around first before coming back to you, Jack.
I was just going to propose that we give these people 10 minutes to describe what they want to do.
Well, okay, we can vote on that, but first let's go through the commissioners first.
I don't have any comment.
Okay, then let me have my say. First of all, I think that it is the people that are proposing to make changes that bear the burden of due diligence much more than we, because they have the resources to do so and they have the interest to do so. It is our policy that we have passed before that proposals of this kind come to us in writing 2 weeks in advance so that we can read it. And we're not subjected to a long discussion, an oral presentation, and appeals, and we have a chance to see it in writing. So I, for one, would like to see things in writing rather than indulge people that have not followed the policy and take it, because there are other issues that we may want to discuss here tonight. So the next piece is to recall that we had a policy where we asked for, in exchange for any increases of density, to have a discussion about what are the benefits to the neighborhood. And it comes, in particular, a suggested guideline. It's only a guideline of 20% lower cost housing as part of any increase. So that's a 20% when there is a reconstruction of the property, which this appears to be. There's the issue of parking, adding to parking density and where that goes. And there is the issue, especially for our HPRB, of design excellence and whether this will satisfy that. We have also passed policies where we've asked the proposers, as Janet Barnes have learned, we've held at least her application as responsible in a very severe way to notify all the neighbors and to have affirmative proof that they have a reasonable discussion from those. And I, for one, would like to see these things handled in discussion ahead of time rather than in ab initio pleas. Let's go through our procedure, not shortcut it, and have from the developers some written articulation of what they're doing, discussion with us about how they're going to meet or deal with our guidelines, and then we'll discuss it at another time. I think it's, I think it's an imposition on everybody to have people show up at the last moment and expect us to discuss this when they are not aware of what our concerns are. Phil.
I'm not familiar with the parliamentary procedure here, but I would, even as I have expressed my support for this resolution, I still would like to hear from the developers at this time.
All right. Would the commission allow them each 3 minutes?
What is your offer here?
I'm proposing that each of the three representatives get 3 minutes.
Or one way or another, 9 minutes total.
Okay.
Be divided as they wish.
Is that agreeable? Because they did not take their 9 minutes that they initially. That is my feeling of the reasoning. Just trying to compromise. Okay? Your time has started.
I'm going to be the first and the shortest of our group. My name is Benjamin Daly. I represent the owner in this project, excuse me, the contractor in this project. We're here today because...
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really apologize for that. Let me just clarify why we're here today. We're here today because I'm from this neighborhood. I actually grew up less than 5 minutes away from here on bike. I take a great pride in this project. And I encourage our group to come here today because we want to be part of the community process. We want to make sure that you all know that there are folks out there that are not developers, but are just... There aren't developers, but are just individuals that want to make a stake in D.C. by changing around buildings that have been empty for quite some time and do something good for the community. And that's the only reason why we're here today. We want to be good neighbors. We want to show the ANC and the folks that come to the ANC meetings and the community that we are here to restore this historic building to where it is. With that, I want to introduce Mark Morganson, who is our general contractor on this project and can speak to the drawings you have displayed. Thank you again for hearing us.
A quick question. Who is the owner?
The owner is Kevin York. He's sitting
Thank you.
There. I apologize for not introducing the whole group. And our last member is our architect, and he'll come up shortly as well.
I'm Mark Morganson with Moen Construction. I'm the contractor for this job, and I'll just walk you through the blueprints. If you can back the picture out just a little. Thank you. This is the existing structure right now. It's been unoccupied for a couple of years, and this is the proposed footprint of the new building. These right here would be our decks. There's 4 units currently. We're proposing 6 new units. These right here are patios, and we have walkout decks. You'll see them better on the elevation drawings.
Question: 6 new units in addition to the 4, or 6
no,
total?
6 total.
Okay.
It was actually, I believe, it was previously zoned for 6 units because there's 6 front doors or 6 doors, but there's only 4 meters on site, so it's been 4 units for probably
40
years.
How many parking spaces currently? It looks like you have room there for 10 cars.
Yeah, we do. We're asking for 10 spots.
So this would reduce the number of spots.
No, actually, there's no spots right now. It's grass. This is all grass right now. It's got a knee wall up right up against the alley, so there are no spots. We're actually one of the bigger points of contention that we have with the historic preservation board is over the number of spots. They don't want to see that much concrete. They want to reduce our spots to 5, and we'll talk more about that when it comes down to it. But they more or less like the direction the project is in, aside from that. I know I only have 3 minutes, so I'll flip to the next slide. The elevation drawings is probably all I'll have time for. I'm not sure what page they're on.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, that's the rear elevation. It's no, that's the front elevation. That's the front elevation. We do have a third story addition, but it's behind. It won't be visible from the street for the first 50 yards. Beyond 50 yards, it'll be visible. But we're actually, the porch is the only thing that's new. We're going to re-stucco, go back with historic style windows. I'm going to let Paul Wilson speak to the architecture because he's the architect of record. But the front porch will be new. Aside from that, everything is existing. We'll go to the next slide. I don't even recognize what that is. Let me see. There we go. That's the rear elevation. There's going to be 6 units, and the units are divided up. We got one apartment here, so we have 3 apartments across the top, each spanning 2 levels, and the 2 bottom, we have 2 floors on each bottom. So that's how the building is going to be divided, and this would be access to the parking for these units, for the upper units, and we have a ground floor walk-in on the lower units.
I just want to point out that when we design these units, we design them for...
The units are designed for families. So as you see, they're quite large, about 2,000 square feet each.
So I heard you mention density. We aren't trying to increase the density here. What we're trying to do is create a project by right that can accommodate families, hence the reason why we try to add additional parking so we can have two members of the family, each with a parking place. I also want to point out the addition that Mark pointed out. I'll let him speak to it, but we've been working closely with zoning as well as historic preservation for a number of years. And what you see really is a product of that discussion. So the sight lines you see from the very bottom of this is that there is a third story addition. There is a third story addition highlighted here in orange. But as you can see from the sight lines, it's not visible until you get 50 feet away. And if anyone knows Brown Street, 50 feet away doesn't exist.
Short question. Did the Historic Preservation Office suggest that over the last couple of years that you come and talk with the ANC?
Actually, I've only been involved with this project. There was a previous architect who...
Perhaps the owner knows.
Yeah, the owner will know. Actually, I'm going to pass my mic to the owner because I think I've probably exhausted my time, but I went over everything I wanted to.
You still have 2 minutes composite.
I do?
No.
Oh, okay.
We agreed to give you 9 minutes total.
Okay. Here's, I'll introduce Kevin York as the owner.
Welcome, Kevin York.
Hello, and good evening, everyone. I'm not going to be too long because I want to have our expert here talk more into the project. Please reiterate your question.
During the last 2 or 3 years that you've been discussing this with the Historic Review Board, did they ever suggest to you or any of your delegates to come and talk with the ANC?
Not that I can recall, although there was an architect named Saskia Van Groten, if anybody's familiar.
Dutch.
Unfortunately, she has been predisposed for reasons unbeknownst to us. I don't know if it was family issues or what have you, but we've been in and out of touch.
She knows full well to come to the ANC.
Okay, well, she does know. She has came to ANC meetings from what I recall.
Because you hear that generally you need to come to us early rather than at the last moment.
Right, and again, we hired on Mark once Saskia was predisposed because for some reason she basically just disappeared. So the project was left hanging for a number of months. Almost 6 months because she was in and out of family situations.
I'll check with Tim Dene and see if they have told anybody, because this is a substantial lapse.
Yeah.
But proceed.
Yeah. That there was discussion from what I can recall to change up the plat, and so Saskia did come through. And this was approved once before by the ANC, from what I can recall, a while ago. Again, this was a couple years ago, at least 6 to 18 months, because that's the last time we've been in touch with Saskia. My time is right now. I'm going to give it to our expert over here.
Okay. Since I took some of your time with the question, you have 2 minutes.
Okay, I appreciate the opportunity to speak this evening. My name is Paul Wilson. I'm the architect of record for this project. I've been involved roughly since the middle of July. So we could go back to the... If we go back to the front elevation, actually, let's look at the section for a second. One of the things we've been discussing fairly intensively with historic preservation is, in fact, the sight lines from Brown Street, and there's been quite a bit of back and forth, and I think we're finally at a point of resolution about the sight lines for the third floor. Also, one other thing I want to mention is the fact that we've also made some revisions to the rear elevation in response to some of their concerns.
I didn't hear your last word. Revisions to what?
Well, we met with Mr. Dene on Monday, and Tim Dene of the Historic Preservation Office. We met with him on Monday, and I know he has some concerns about the rear elevation and the parking, and we're expecting his staff report to reflect that. So, So that's basically why, where we are at this time.
Given that we're still going to discuss this likely in another month, perhaps the Commission has some questions. Jack? Or comments?
Yeah, I just wanted to be sure. As I mentioned earlier in my emails today, there's just no way that we can come to a decision at this time. The notice is just too short. I'm hoping that the 1 month postponement won't be a problem for, won't be a serious problem for you.
No, we very much would like the DNC's support for this as well.
Second question, have you discussed this with Historic Mount Pleasant?
No, we are in the process of doing that this week.
Also a good idea to start early rather than at the last moment. Phil?
Have you guys talked to any of the neighbors about this expansion, particularly in the alley?
Due to my short involvement with this, I think that's probably best addressed by Mr. York.
Can you please reiterate the question?
So I'm wondering about whether you've talked with any of the neighbors to
both
the project.
Both neighbors on both sides are actually aware. One, I think his name is Gene, is actually wondering when it's going to get started because he's looking forward to it. I've talked with the neighbor on the other side actually yesterday because there was an issue just with the treatments. I talked with the granddaughter of the neighbor. On the other side, there's just an issue with a tree going over the yard, but they're excited about it.
Is there any neighbors on the opposite side of the alley?
That we discussed with? There's neighbors on the opposite side of the alley, but you see there, of course, it's an alley, so you see their backyard.
Well, but you're about to put 10 cars in the alley that weren't there before.
Right. So your recommendation is to discuss with those neighbors.
Well, I mean, at this time, and it's just my sense of the commission, we're going to vote for a resolution to ask for a one-month delay here. I advise you during that month to definitely reach out to everybody within that sort of zone that you'll be impacting. I can definitely tell you that anybody that uses that alley is going to be impacted.
Right.
So I think when we do discuss this again at some point, I'd like to hear from the neighbors as well that they support the issue.
And I'm only basing this on what Saskia had done. I know she had talked to the neighbors on both sides, but she's very limited and very unprofessional with the way she kind of handled things. Her communication was very limited with me. And, you know, she would drop out once at a time, but she was the expert, the resident expert. She's a one-man show, so there was nobody else to talk to. So she may have talked to neighbors behind in the parking lot. I don't know.
Janet Barnes, please correct me. Didn't the ANC demand that you contact your neighbors within a circuit of, was it a half block or a full block?
What we actually...
I'm talking about our policy. What did we ask you to do?
You asked us to contact the neighbors on 17th Street, which is where we live.
And there were some about a half block down also that were involved in the process, as I recall. So I think the recent and somewhat acrimonious case on this, where the neighbors half a block away became very actively involved. This afternoon I got a call from a neighbor of yours almost a block away who was concerned about this. So I think as the time reaches closer to a decision and more people know about this process, that you would be better served to go well beyond immediate next-door neighbors.
Understood. And now that we have the information, because again, Saskia was handling...
Excuse me. Would you allow Janet? Would you hand her the...
I have a question for you. You abut an alley there. Is there any variance situations that you have going there into the area of the alley?
Can you have me let the architect check?
The answer is no. Everything you see there is technically by right. That's, of course, the historic district. So this is why we're here addressing this issue, and this is the only issue that we want anyone to really focus on here is parking. Do you want to have 10 cars on the street, or do I have 10 cars behind our building?
That's really the main question. We've been working very, I'm sure everyone's clear, we've been working very closely with the historic board. Me, Mark, and architect, we're new to this project. This is my second month of working on this project. So I apologize for any misgivings or for not following certain protocols. The only reason why we're here is because I wanted to make sure that we came here and met all of you and to let you know that we do want to be part of this community. And we do want to address any concerns now and in the future. So I'll make it very clear. I'm glad you asked any more questions. I know we have limited time. But I just want to make sure that we know exactly what we're talking about. We're not talking about the facades. We're not talking about the sight lines. We can talk about those, but we've gone through those things already with the historic board, and we've met their demands. We're happy to meet your demands as well, if you have any. But the real question is,
slow down. We have an interpreter back there who is, I'm sure, having a rough time.
And I think we've run quite over time.
That's why I was talking fast.
Well, we first is intelligibility rather than it's not what you say, it's what people hear. I do have one further question, and that is that, as I recall, we may have discussed this property. It was a property much like this when we voted for a general policy. If there's going to be a substantial rehab, that we have a guideline of 20% low-cost housing that be included in this. So if you have six units, 20% would mandate one unit. And I would like to ask you to start to think about that. And be able to talk with us informally between the meetings about what you can do towards that. You've heard earlier that there's a large segment of current population with families that would like to find places to stay in the neighborhood. I believe, are we ready to vote?
If I can respond to that quickly, it'd be really helpful if we could get the guidelines that you all have already outlined as an ANC.
That's it. You've already heard them. That's just 3 points.
Okay, but is it written down anywhere? Because affordable housing is many different levels of affordability.
We are pretty flexible. We're open to innovation. We consider Mount Pleasant to be an innovation zone. And so rather than go by fixed, nationally set guidelines, we're interested in something that is adapted to our circumstances and may be creative and innovative.
And is there a committee that meets on this?
Jack.
Let me point out, Greg says we, but there are six different commissioners here, and we don't necessarily agree on these matters.
Well, I think we passed a resolution on it, but we'll have to get back to that. So,
one last question. Is there a certain member, so working my ANC rep on this particular matter, or is there a committee that meets?
Can you repeat it?
Is there an ANC rep that I should work with on this particular matter?
Let me suggest, even though this is in Oliver Tunda's district, because I have a great deal of experience at dealing with historic, and I'm much more in communication than Oliver is, let me suggest that they work with me. Is
okay,
that acceptable?
I hope you'll keep me informed, because I have a very
strong... No, I'm going to keep it all secret from you, Craig.
Okay.
I'm going to surprise you in a month.
Well, this has been a surprise when this popped up, and you didn't send us the background email, so...
This happened today. This happened today in phone calls today.
Okay.
I knew nothing of this until about 11 o'clock today.
Okay.
Which is why, by the way, it's impossible to put together agendas. Because we don't... Impossible.
I believe we should go for a vote. All in favor of the resolution?
The resolution to postpone.
What?
The resolution to postpone. The request to postponement. 4-0.
I think the chair has been usurped.
Who would do that?
No, Jack. There are two more, one from Jack and one from me. And Jack, by professional courtesy, I think should go first. Actually, he presented it earlier than mine.
You mean?
Voluntary agreement.
Voluntary agreement. Yes, this has to do, resolve that ANC Wendy reminds the Alcoholic Beverage Control Board that it has disavowed in a resolution dated December 2, 2008, any ANC support for the voluntary agreements signed years ago with the Mount Pleasant Delicatessen and the Bestway Supermarket. In particular, referring to investigation number 09-CMP-00342, this ANC is not to be considered a party to this complaint of violations of its voluntary agreement by the Bestway.
Is there a second? Phil seconds. Discussion. Phil is ready to go.
Can I get some background on this?
Yeah, the background is that they are being called on the carpet tomorrow by the ABC board for having violated their voluntary agreement. They are accused of two violations. One, they didn't have a copy of their voluntary agreement on site. And two, they didn't have up a sign warning that drinking alcoholic beverages in public is illegal. And the Bestway is being called to task tomorrow on those counts.
Dave.
Well, if we officially disavowed ANC relationship to any voluntary agreement, and are we sure that that is the voluntary agreement they're talking about? Or is it a voluntary agreement with somebody else?
The voluntary agreement is attached to the complaint, which I distributed to everybody. And it is the one that includes ANC 1E as a partner in the voluntary agreement.
Okay, so it's only a partner. The other institutions still own that voluntary agreement then?
That is correct.
Indeed, if my turn for comment, this ANC at one point disavowed participation in all voluntary agreements. And I think it's worth reiterating that and adding that as that could be accepted as a friendly amendment. And I think it would be worthwhile to remind the board that our policy is to not have voluntary agreements that do not allow alternatives to participation in a neighborhood responsible hospitality process. Phil.
Would you accept as a friendly amendment that we make a statement supporting Bestway as a good, as a member of the, or a member in good standing of the Mount Pleasant business community, and we hope that the ABRA board can dismiss these relatively minor complaints?
Without fines.
Without fines.
That's very important because fines can be $2,000 each, which is a serious hit on some of these businesses.
Yeah, I accept that as a friendly amendment.
All right, any further discussion? Seeing none, I assume we're ready to vote. Without objection, all in favor, raise your hand. It's 4-0. I've just been told by a colleague sitting next to me that it feels like time to go home. So I will only introduce as an item of information the last resolution and not submit it, which is to say that it's item 3 in my list of short resolutions that We have a small contest for nicknames for Mount Pleasant. They're competing ones right now. And rather than allow it to be another fight in Mount Pleasant for who can come up with their style and their group's approach, just try to spend $100 or plus expenses to try to get a wide variety of creativity towards some nicknames. But since I've heard that the patience of the commission is strained right now, I will refrain from introducing it now, but would like to discuss it with anybody and why I think it's important to start to have more of a cultural policy that emphasizes diversity next time. Can I take your consultation with me as a move to adjourn?
Second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
The 15th of September meeting of ANC 1D is closed at 8:48. Thank you all for coming.
Besides myself, I'm much more interested.